The UN Refugee Agency says the onslaught in Gaza has killed more children than 4 years of wars around the world. President Putin says Ukraine's recent military operations intend to meddle in Russia's upcoming presidential vote. And Iran, China, and Russia carry on with their joint naval drills in the Indian Ocean.
Well, welcome to the studios near the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us.
Israel presses ahead with indiscriminate targeting of Palestinians who are fasting in the holy month of Ramadan, as the last hopes for an immediate ceasefire vanishes into thin air. UNRWA says Israeli warplanes have hit one of its aid warehouses in Rafah. Five people were killed and scores more wounded, as Palestinians were waiting for humanitarian aid. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, Israeli airstrikes have claimed 88 Palestinian lives over the past day. The UN says the number of children killed during the first 4 months of the war on Gaza has topped all those killed in 4 years of wars across the globe. In northern Gaza alone, 27 children have starved to death. The health ministry has called on the UN and other child protection agencies for the provision of milk for the infants. The Palestinian death toll now stands at around 31,300, most of them women and children. The Gaza government says sending an aid ship from Cyprus to the besieged territory is not sufficient for millions of starving people. The spokesman for the government's press office says the ship's cargo does not exceed that of one or two trucks, and it will take days to arrive. He also stressed that there are some logistical uncertainties about the operation and raised concerns regarding Israeli inspections. Salama Maruf noted that a maritime aid corridor is far less efficient than overland routes. He called for international pressure on Israel to lay aid trucks through its border crossings. A ship carrying 200 tons of aid left Cyprus on Tuesday as part of a pilot project to deliver supplies to a population that is on the verge of famine. Several more Palestinians have lost their lives in the latest raids the Israeli forces launched on Tuesday evening on several parts of the occupied West Bank. Mona Kandil, our correspondent to Ramallah, joined us earlier with details. Let's take a listen.
Unfortunately, as you were saying, it seems that in less than 24 hours, the Israeli forces shot and killed six Palestinians all over the occupied West Bank. The latest Palestinian is yet another Palestinian minor, this time 14-year-old Mohammed Abu Hamid from the village of Al-Khadr, South Bethlehem. The Israeli military claimed that Mohammed Abu Hamid arrived on an electric bicycle at the tunnel's checkpoint at the entrance to Al-Quds and near Bethlehem. They claimed that he had a knife and that he succeeded to stab two Israeli soldiers. They were wounded and they are in light to moderate conditions. The Israeli forces then opened fire immediately at this 14-year-old Palestinian. They shot him and killed him and confiscated his body. Earlier, the Israeli forces stormed Jenin refugee camp and the city of Jenin, and exchange of fire have taken place between the Palestinian fighters and the Israeli forces. Two Palestinians were shot and killed. At least one of them was shot and killed by the Israeli forces while he was inside the complex of the Jenin government hospital, where clashes have been taking place outside the hospital, and the Israeli forces opened fire at the people there at the conflicts of the hospital, and one Palestinian was killed there. Earlier, two Palestinians were shot and killed at the village of Ajib, northwest Al-Quds. The Israelis claimed that a day earlier, Palestinians threw explosive devices or cocktail or Molotov cocktails at the Israeli military checkpoint there. Earlier, there's another Palestinian, this time in Shafwat refugee camp in Al-Quds, after the, let's say, Al-Maghrib and iftar of the first day, the second day of Ramadan. He was at the outside his home playing with a number of his relatives. The Israeli forces opened a fire and shot him in the chest. Then they claimed that he was playing with fireworks with the other children, and that's why the Israeli forces opened fire at him, shot him and killed him. The number of the Palestinians who were shot and killed by the Israeli soldiers since the 7th of October is today over 430 Palestinians.
An Israeli drone strike on a car near the southern Lebanese city of Tyre has killed a member of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. The drone hit the vehicle near the Palestinian refugee camp of Rashidiya. The assassinated Hamas member has been identified as Hadi Mustafa. According to security sources, a civilian who was passing by on his motorcycle was also killed in the strike. Reports say the Israeli drone was hovered above the site for several minutes before targeting the car. Soon after the strike, sirens were also heard in the occupied territories, indicating possible retaliatory attacks by Lebanon's Hezbollah movements on Israeli targets. Tensions remain high between Hezbollah and Israel since the regime launched its genocidal war on Gaza in early October. Both sides have been exchanging fire, but Israel has intensified attacks on civilians in Lebanon in recent weeks. Earlier we spoke to our correspondent in Beirut, Mariam Saleh, for more information on the latest tensions between Israel and Lebanon.
We do not have confirmation or the names of those who were killed in that vehicle, but it is pretty close to one of the Palestinian refugee camps in South Lebanon. It is possible that there is a Palestinian figure that was in the vehicle. It could also be a member of the resistance. We know now that after the strike against this car, sirens were sounding in several areas in the Western Galilee parts. And so that is probably we have those sirens because Hezbollah seems to have launched several rockets. We also know that rockets were fired toward the Golan Heights. That is something that Hezbollah has also maintained is part of its scope of operations as well. But we also know that there's a lot of threats from the Israelis, a lot of talk that they want to go on with a blow against Lebanon, a full-scale war. You have elites within the Israeli regime. It's not the time now for any sort of war against Hezbollah, against Lebanon, while the war in Gaza remains. And he said very clearly this, these elite figures and other political figures also in the Israeli regime are stressing that we all know that Hezbollah is not going to stop until the war in Gaza stops.
On the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, thousands of Jordanians rallied in Amman and across the country to protest against Israel's genocidal war in Gaza.
Today, on the first day of Ramadan, we are standing before the genocide, the enforced hunger and killing, the targeting of children, women, and unarmed civilians, and the demolition of houses over inhabitants. Of course, our message is to create a humanitarian land corridor to northern Gaza, where the Palestinian citizens suffer from hunger and dehydration inflicted by the Zionist enemy that is leading this offensive war, this genocide and ethnic cleansing against the Palestinian people.
Carrying Palestinian flags and banners, the protesters chanted pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel slogans. They also demanded unhindered delivery of aid to Gaza as they gathered near the Israeli embassy. Jordan, that is hosting 2.4 million Palestinian refugees, has witnessed several rallies in solidarity with Gazans since Israel launched its war on the besieged Strip. Similar rallies have taken place in other countries as well. President Vladimir Putin says the main objective of Ukraine's recent attacks on his country is to interfere with the upcoming presidential election in Russia.
I have no doubt about it. The main goal is to, if not disrupt the presidential election in Russia, then at least somehow interfere with the normal process of expressing the will of citizens. Secondly, as I've already said, it's about informational component. And thirdly, if they have some success, to get some kind of chance, some kind of argument, some kind of trump card in a possible future negotiation process.
In an interview, Putin said that attacks by Ukrainian forces are aimed at diverting attention from their failures on the front line. He added that Russian forces have completely taken over the initiative in the war. The Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson also said the U.S. seeks to discourage Russian citizens from taking part in the election, which is due to be held between March 15 and 17. Maria Zakharova says the U.S. also plans to carry out cyber attacks on Russia's remote electronic voting system. Tensions between Russia and the U.S. escalated to unprecedented levels following the war in Ukraine. Putin has once again warned that he is ready to deploy nuclear weapons if his country's sovereignty is threatened. Iran, China, and Russia are continuing their joint naval drills in the northern Indian Ocean. A spokesman for the drills says vessels from the three countries carried out shooting practice at naval targets. Rear Admiral Mustafa Tajadini said the exercise, dubbed Marine Security Belt 2024, was led by Iran's homemade destroyer Dena. the vessels went into an attack formation and participated in a photo exercise. The drills were supervised by Iranian helicopters. The maneuvers, which will end on Friday, are aimed at reinforcing regional security, fighting piracy, and expanding cooperation among participating countries. Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry tenders his resignation as violence plagues his country. Henry says his government will step aside after the establishment of a transitional council, stressing that Haiti needs peace and stability. When the violence erupted last week by the alliance of gangs, Henry was in Kenya to sign an agreement to send 1,000 Kenyan police officers to the Caribbean nation to restore order. He was unable to return to Haiti as the security situation deteriorated around the airport in the capital, Port-au-Prince. Meanwhile, the U.S. says a new team of Marines has been sent to Haiti to help protect the American embassy there. The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, also promised $100 million for UN-backed force to stabilize the country and $30 million in humanitarian assistance. Haiti has been plagued by spiraling violence in recent weeks as armed gangs have taken control, calling on Henry to go. The U.S. House of Representatives has overwhelmingly approved a bill that forces the popular social media app TikTok to either sever ties with China or become unavailable in the U.S. American lawmakers voted 352 in favor of the proposed law in a rare moment of bipartisan unity. Meanwhile, Beijing has accused the U.S. of suppressing TikTok, calling the motion a bullying act to damage the international investment environment. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson has warned Washington of the repercussions of the move. Wang Wenbin says that the decision will inevitably come back to bite the U.S. itself. Washington has long expressed concerns over the Chinese-owned app, claiming that it puts national security at potential risks. TikTok owners, however, have repeatedly rejected the claims. If the U.S. bill becomes law, the app's parent company will be forced to sell TikTok within 6 months or face a ban from American app stores. Let's bring in Camila Escalante to shed more light on this from Bogota. Well, Camila, welcome to the program. What news do you have for us on this?
Well, the latest overnight was that Southcom, the United States Southern Command, which the United States says is the area of the military, the section of the military responsible for the Caribbean and Latin America, has deployed an elite unit of U.S. Marines to the Haitian capital. It said that in an overnight statement just days ago. It also put out a statement saying that it was augmenting security around its embassy in the Haitian capital, saying that for that reason, diplomats and personnel would be airlifted by helicopter in and out of the area. So it seems that obviously they're preparing for somewhat of a more intensified security situation right now. I'm not sure if you mentioned this already, but the president was unable to return to the country, having traveled abroad. And he was reportedly for some time, last we know of him, in Puerto Rico being reported or being protected by the FBI. We're hearing a lot of reactions from around the continent this week, including by President Nicolas Maduro. He said that Haiti has been martyred and dismembered by U.S. interventionism. And from within, he said that the destructive force of anti-values and drug trafficking took over Haiti.
Are we looking at more increased presence by the U.N., which in turn may lead to the U.S. also showing itself, especially when it comes to the politics of Haiti, which we know that they have some to have categorized as being interference in Haiti's affairs?
Well, it seems like there has been a lot of support for this multinational security force to enter Haiti. This is something that was pushed by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, although he pushed it as a non-UN security force, which is really peculiar for the UN Secretary General to do. But he was seeking, alongside the United States, support and troops and, of course, financial support for this new, what people in Haiti say, is a new armed invasion, a militarized invasion of their country. And they have been able to get the support of several different governments, including within our region. Earlier this week, in Monday, that is, in Kingston, the capital of Jamaica, we're meeting Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State of the United States, and CARICOM, the leaders of the Caribbean community. And what a lot of the Caribbean community leaders have said is that they support this multinational security force in Haiti because they believe that the problem is what they call gangs. That's a term that has largely been rejected. The use is rejected by a lot of people who say that they are paramilitaries and that these are paramilitary groups that are armed from, of course, the United States, because Haiti is not a country which produces its own arms. And so it seems like there's a lot of support for that, and many countries have pledged a number of troops. So we do think we're going to be seeing some movement in that respect, but a timeline is unclear, of course, as has been reported over several months.
Thank you very much for that. From Bogota, Camila Escalante. We appreciate it, Camila. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says what is happening in the besieged Gaza Strip is an indication of Palestinians' steadfastness and resilience. He made the comments while meeting with a group of Quran reciters and memorizers in Tehran. Salman Khoujiri has a report.
An annual meeting of Quran reciters and memorizers with the leader of the Islamic Revolution. Young and experienced reciters and memorizers were very much excited to listen and take a glimpse of the leader.
I am very much excited to recite some verses of the Holy Quran in the presence of the leader. But this is a great opportunity for me to see the leader.
This is the third time I have the honor of attending such a great event. Today I am going to have supplications to recite about the holy month of Ramadan.
Other reciters were worried about the people of Gaza who are observing the holy month of Ramadan amid the Israeli bombing and shelling campaign.
The month of Ramadan is the month of mercy and blessing. I do believe that during this month, the Zionist regime will face a big defeat.
At the end of the ceremony, the Quran reciters and memorizers held congregational prayers led by the leader of the Islamic Revolution and broke their fast together. Salman Khoujiri, Tehran.
Thousands of Iranian legal experts and attorneys have joined the global movement of lawyers who have volunteered to file a genocide complaint against Israel, the International Criminal Court. Referred to as the Army of Lawyers for Palestine, the initiative has so far mobilized more than 200,000 lawyers worldwide. Kisimi Shahmadi has the details.
An unprecedented global movement gaining momentum. Initiated by veteran French lawyer and academic Gilles Devers, the Army of Lawyers for Palestine now has over 200,000 lawyers of different nationalities on board and still counting as he travels from country to country to promote his grassroots campaign. And an optimistic Gilles Devers, who has already filed a complaint of genocide against Israel with the International Criminal Court, demanding an arrest warrant for top Israeli politicians, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. His South African fellow companion shedding light on the legal aspects of the matter while explaining how the case brought to the International Court of Justice by South Africa is also paving the way. And in the words of these legal experts, this goal is not far from reach. These lawyers believe that we live in a new era in which this new global initiative will eventually lead to justice for Palestinians. Kisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. all produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Palestinians abducted by Israeli regime forces since the start of the war are returning to Gaza with harrowing accounts of mock executions, constant beatings, and humiliating mistreatment. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. Middle East Eye wrote, Palestinian men kidnapped by Israeli regime forces since the start of the war in Gaza have told Middle East Eye how they were physically tortured with dogs and electricity, subjected to mock executions, and held in humiliating and degrading conditions. In testimonies to MEE, one man who was taken by Israeli regime forces from a school in Gaza, where he had sought refuge with his family, described how he had been handcuffed, blindfolded, and detained in a metal cage for 42 days. During interrogations, he said he had been given electric shocks as well as scratched and bitten by army dogs. Other men also described being electrocuted, attacked by dogs, doused with cold water, denied food and water, deprived of sleep, and subjected to constant loud music. One of the men, Muaz Mohammad Khamis Mehrdad, who was taken prisoner in Gaza City in December and held for more than 30 days, said, "They did not spare anyone. There were 40-year-old boys and 80-year-old men." As well as three men taken prisoner in Gaza, M.E. spoke to a man abducted in a raid in the West Bank city of Qalqilia, who said he had been blindfolded, stripped naked, and hung by his arms during interrogations in which he was repeatedly beaten and burnt with cigarettes. He also described being held for days in freezing conditions in which he was not allowed to sleep and of a troop urinating in a bottle and handing it to him after he had requested water. All four men described being forced to strip naked and being constantly beaten and abused by Israeli regime troops during their weeks-long detentions. MEE has also spoken to a number of other former detainees who also described similar experiences to those of the men in this story. Their accounts of torture and abuse follow similar allegations made by human rights monitors. The Zionist regime's conduct of its war against the resistance group Hamas in Gaza is already the subject of an International Court of Justice case in which it stands accused of genocide and ongoing war crimes investigation by the International Criminal Court. Last week, details of an unpublished investigation by UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, alleging abuse of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners detained during the war in Gaza were reported by the New York Times. Many of those details appear consistent with the testimonies of former detainees who spoke to Middle East Eye. Recently, Haaretz reported that at least 27 detainees from Gaza had died in Israeli regime military facilities since the start of the war. It said some of the deaths had occurred at the Sedeh Tamon military base in southern Israel and on a Anatot base in the West Bank. Recently, Alice Jill Edwards, the UN's special rapporteur on torture, said she was investigating allegations of torture and mistreatment of Palestinian detainees by the Zionist regime and was in talks with the Israeli regime authorities to visit the country on a fact-finding mission. Rami Abdo, the chair of Euromed Human Rights Monitor, which has also compiled reports of torture in custody, said the testimonies of Palestinians released from Israeli regime detention were deeply disturbing. Abdo told MEE, "These testimonies reveal a systematic pattern of abuse, including forced strip searches, harassment, threats of rape, severe beatings, dog attacks, and denial of necessities such as food, water, and access to restroom facilities. These acts not only inflict physical pain, but also leave lasting psychological scars on the victims. The use of such brutal tactics, particularly against vulnerable groups such as women, children, and the elderly, is reprehensible and constitutes a gross violation of human dignity and international law." Miriam Azem, an advocacy associate at Adala, a Palestinian human rights organization, said reports of pervasive torture and ill treatment inflicted on Palestinian detainees in Israeli regime custody demanded an immediate international intervention. Azem told MEE, "Hundreds of Palestinians from Gaza remain held incommunicado, their whereabouts unknown. The urgency of the current moment demands not just attention, but immediate and resolute intervention from international community. Any failure to intervene poses a grave threat to Palestinian lives." The Zionist regime army had not responded to MEE's request for comment at the time of publication. It has said in response to allegations concerning the mistreatment of detainees that such conduct violates IDF values and contravenes IDF orders and is therefore absolutely prohibited. It has said its troops act in accordance with Israeli and international law in order to protect the rights of the detainees. It has said every death in Israeli regime custody is being investigated and that some of those who had died had pre-existing medical conditions or injuries, and this is what that they are actually lies.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ you who believe, اِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah accept your du'as and worships in the month of Ramadan. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Let me start off by wishing each and every one of you a Shahru Ramadan Mubarak. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us enough strength to be obedient to Him in this month, to be able to accomplish His rights that He has set out for us in this month with good health, inshallah, and that we leave, you know, this holy month of Ramadan as better believers than we entered it, inshallah. In this month, we're going to be looking at Dua number 44 of Sahifatul Sajjadiyah. وَكَانَ مِن دُعَائِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. It is the dua that he recited when the month of Ramadan began. And inshallah, the hope is that we will look at certain aspects of this dua to try to see how we can enhance our own month of Ramadan, reflect on it inshallah, and focus on certain aspects that maybe we wouldn't have focused on otherwise inshallah. So the dua starts off the way many of our duas start off, and the way we have been taught to supplicate to Allah to do when we make any type of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that it needs to just become a normal practice, where before I say, Ya Allah, these are my hajat, how about we spend a few seconds to appreciate for all the things He has done for us already, right? And so we spend a little bit of time thanking Allah. Our sixth Imam alayhi salam says in the tradition, Iyakum an yas'ala ahadum minkum rabbahu shay'a min hawa'ijid dunya wal akhira hatta yabda'a bithana'i ala Allah wal midhati lahu. That none of you should ever supplicate to God or ask Him for anything without first appreciating Him, thanking Him, and praising Him. These two are different things. We've talked about this in the past. Especially last year, if I recall correctly, when we did a short explanation of Dua Iftitah, we said there is a difference between Madh and Hamd. Yeah? And we gave the difference between them. And it's important that even when we do shukr of God, shukr is different than praising Allah in Hamd. Shukr is a gratefulness, while Hamd is a praise. And so we praise Him for His qualities and then do shukr to Him for those things that we are affected by based on His qualities. And so it's a separation of things. But again, what's expected is a mindfulness, right? An appreciation that we are drowning in God's bounties. Yeah, we are constantly exposed to Allah's mercy. And so we need to take a moment to appreciate them. And this is what the Imam teaches us. And one of the first things the Imam alayhi salam thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in this dua is hidayah, guidance. Yeah? Where the Imam alayhi salam says, Walhamdulillahi alladhi habana bidinihi. That all praises to Allah who showed favor to us, who gifted us with His religion. وَاخْتَصَّنَا بِمِلَّتِهِ. And He specifically appointed us to be part of His creed. وَسَبَّلَنَا فِي سُبُلِ إِحْسَانِهِ. And He showed us the road from amongst the many roads towards His kindness. Man, we need God. Yeah? And this fact that we can gather here today under the umbrella and banner of Iman is one of the greatest gifts God has given us. Yeah? This religion is not a small thing. We need to appreciate it. That if it were not for this, this is why we always recite, right? Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada. That all praises to Allah who guided us to this. Wama kunna lina. And if it weren't for His guidance, we would not have been guided to this. This is a fact, right? This is a reality. And so it was Allah who showed us this way, Allah who blessed us, Allah who did something. Someone did something for us to be born in this path. And this goes back to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we must be in constant appreciation of this. And this is something that we should always be grateful for. And then the Imam continues. And as he said that there are roads that you guided us in this path, the Imam alayhi salam says that amongst these roads that allows us to get closer to you, O Allah, is the month of Ramadan. That the month of Ramadan in itself is a road that allows us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Imam alayhi salam says, وَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ الَّذِي جَعَلَ مِنْ تِلْكَ السُّبُلِ. That all praises to Allah who appointed from amongst these roads. The purpose of these roads is what? To get closer to God. And so from amongst these roads, he says that you appointed shahrahu, his month, your month. Shahra Ramadan. Shahra Siyam, the month of fasting. Wa Shahra al-Islam, the month of submission. Wa Shahra al-Tahur, the month of purity. Wa Shahra al-Tamhis, the month of tests. Wa Shahra al-Qiyam, and the month of standing in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an, a month in which you revealed the Holy Qur'an. What we understand, you know, is that this month, and we know this, but I want to emphasize this, This month is absolutely unique. I know we feel the uniqueness of this from the perspective of not being able to eat and drink. But beside that, we need to look past that. We need to look over that and realize that we are constantly surrounded, immersed in greatness in this month. Yeah, where every act in this month, you know, there are traditions, you know, we see in the Quran, Allah say, if you do one good act, I will reward you how many times? 10 times, yeah? In the month of Ramadan, He says, I will reward you 70 times. Same act, yeah? Do one thing, multiply it 70. Why? Just because He felt like it. No other reason. And now what's interesting, and this is where I'll leave you with this thought, you know, is that the month is not great because we have been asked to fast in it. I want us to understand this, and the Imam makes this very clear, right? But the month has been made great by God. And in order for us not to look at this month as any other month that it comes by, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asks us to change our lifestyle in this month by not eating and drinking. Did you understand that? Yeah? This not eating and not drinking is not what makes Ramadan great. But it is only so that we realize this is not an ordinary month. Yeah? There's a difference in this month. And so fasting has been ordained because for us to recognize the difference in this month. The Imam alayhi salam says, yeah? He says, فَحَرَّمَ فِيهِ مَا أَحَلَّ فِي غَيْرِهِ إِعْظَامًا وَحَجَرَ فِيهِ الْمَطَاعِمَ وَالْمَشَارِبَ إِكْرَامًا. That you have forbidden and made unlawful in it the things that are otherwise lawful in any other time. Why? Just to magnify this month. Yeah, to make this month greater. Right? And so what we see is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purposely has ordained things in this month to make this month different. Yeah, things that are normally allowed for us, He has forbidden for us. Things that are part of our lives that He has made haram for us. All with the purpose of making this month look different for us. Therefore, it is our responsibility to ensure that we make this month different as well. You understand? If this month is the same as every other month, except that I don't eat and drink, then there's nothing special that I have done to honor this month. Yeah? But I must make this month different. Throughout the year, I always worry about food. What's my lunch going to be? What's my dinner going to be? In Ramadan, I worry what my iftar is going to be, what my suhoor is going to be. What's the difference? Yeah? What's the difference? Right? In other months, I hang out with my friends. In this month, we hang out in the banner of halal hanging out. What's the difference? Yeah. In this month, in other months, I play sports twice a week, three times a week. In Ramadan, we play sports all the time. What's the difference? Make this month different, my brothers and sisters. Make it unique in your own way. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but make it unique. Things that you don't normally do, because maybe you didn't have the energy, force yourself in this month. Yeah. If it's reciting extra Qur'an, if it's praying extra salawat, if it's reciting more du'as, something. Make it unique. Make the focus entirely for God. And if we can make this 1 month, besides the food and drink, eating and drinking, unique, then we will have glorified this month the way this month deserves to be glorified. And when we say thank you to Allah for this month, it will have meaning behind that thanks, inshallah. That's our responsibility for this week. To be grateful to Allah, make this month unique, and inshallah in return, we will be chosen amongst the unique ones by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Dear listeners of The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be Ramadan, 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 ya Habib,
رمضان رمضان ليتك دوما قريب ليتك دوما قريب
Choose to think better. Welcome to A Better You. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. In the limelight.
Zionist regime forces have attacked Muslim worshippers at Al-Aqsa during first night of Ramadan. Video footage showed Israeli regime forces beating worshippers walking to prayers at the holy site, while others were forbidden from entering. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, Israeli regime forces beat and prevented Muslim worshippers from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in Al-Quds on the first night of the holy month of Ramadan. In video footage shared online, armed Israeli regime police officers are seen hitting Palestinians in the streets of the old city while they were walking towards the holy site to attend Tarawih prayers. The special prayers take place every night of the holy month of Ramadan and typically attract tens of thousands of Muslims who pray in congregation. According to local media, the Zionist regime troops set up multiple checkpoints around the old city in the occupied East Al-Quds, blocking roads and obstructing people from reaching the site. Eyewitnesses said that Israeli regime police only allowed some men and women over the age of 40 to enter the site. The Zionist regime's government had issued a statement on March 5th saying that they would not restrict Palestinian worshippers during Ramadan. Witnesses said that Israeli regime forces stopped and checked the bags of young men and women in the alleyways of the old city. One woman told local media that the number of Palestinians who were prevented from entering Al-Aqsa was more than the number of worshippers who were able to enter and perform Tarawih prayers. She added, "The occupation forces have even prevented any gatherings of Palestinians or prayers in the surrounding areas," referring to Israeli regime security forces. Jordan's foreign minister Ayman Safadi said recently restrictions imposed by the Zionist regime on Muslim worshippers' access to Al-Aqsa was pushing the situation towards an explosion. In his statement, Safadi said his country rejected the Zionist regime's move to limit access to the holy site during Ramadan. citing security needs with war raging in Gaza. He added that Jordan shared the Palestinian view that such restrictions were an attack on freedom of worship. The prevention of worshippers from entering Al-Aqsa comes at the same time that Palestinians in Gaza were forced to pray in the outdoors amidst the ruins, following over 5 months of Israeli regime bombardment and the total destruction of nearly all of Gaza's mosques. Palestinians in Gaza told Middle East Eye that they are apprehensive about the holy month, as over 31,000 Palestinians have been killed in the Strip since October, while another 70,000 have been wounded. The United Nations has also announced that 80% of the Gaza Strip is now uninhabitable, while widespread hunger has gripped the majority of Gaza. At least 27 people have died due to hunger and starvation since the start of the war. "We are now living in conditions worse than the Nakba," Diab Azaza told Middle East Eye, referring to the period when Palestinians were killed or driven from their homes when the fabricated regime of Israel came into existence. He added, "At the time of the Nakba, there were fewer people and the country was open, but now we are besieged from all sides." Press TV earlier reported the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance movement has warned the Zionist regime not to play with fire after the regime imposed restrictions on access to Al-Aqsa Mosque during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. The Gaza-based group said in a statement recently, "Israel is playing with fire through desecration of the sacred Al-Aqsa Mosque compound by occupation forces and settler gangs. Besides restrictions on access to the site, we and freedom-loving people will not stand idly by in the face of such aggression." The statement added that Palestinians are creating impressive scenes of steadfastness and determination in the face of Zionist terrorism on the advent of Ramadan and amid the silence of some Arab and Muslim governments. "In spite of this unfortunate reality, the Palestinian Resistance Front is resolute to carry on with its struggle, which is entering its 6th month in a row and is armed with the faith in God." It added, "Congratulations to the entire Palestinian nation, especially the residents of the Gaza Strip, on the arrival of the month of Ramadan. Our resistance will continue and we will carry out strikes and acts of retaliation throughout Gaza and the West Bank." The Islamic Jihad finally reassured all walks of Palestinian society and freedom-loving people worldwide that resistance fighters are at the apex of their combat preparedness and will not allow the Zionist entity to advance its sinister plots against the Palestinian cause and nation. Since the beginning of the war in the Gaza Strip, Israeli regime forces have restricted Palestinian Muslims' access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, particularly on Fridays. The Hamas resistance movement, in a statement on February 19th, also denounced the Zionist regime's plan to restrict Palestinians' entry into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound during Ramadan, warning that the measure will explode the whole situation. Ezzat Ar-Reshagh, a member of the political bureau of Hamas, said recently, "An outburst of anger is waiting to go off in the face of the occupying regime in response to any restrictions on worship at Al-Aqsa Mosque during Ramadan."
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Why is the month of Ramadan superior to other months? May 19th, 2018. We should move forward and we should accompany our movement with divine intentions and with the intention of getting closer to God. We should know that if we apply these methods, God's assistance and blessings will be definite. The month of Ramadan is an opportunity for gaining piety, and the purpose of fasting is that you may learn piety. The Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 183. Allah, the Exalted, has commanded us to fast with this purpose in mind. At least one of the purposes of commanding people to fast during this month, fasting is one of the important characteristics of the month of Ramadan, is to exercise piety. In daily du'as, after saying prayers, we read, And this is a month on which you bestowed greatness, dignity, and honor, and on which you bestowed superiority over other months. Allah the Exalted has made this month superior to others. One of the reasons for this superiority is the act of fasting. Another reason is that He sent down the Holy Quran in this month. Another reason is the night of Qadr. These things have been mentioned in this dua as characteristics of this month. This is good ground for our growth and fruitfulness. It is like the springtime. As each season of the year has certain natural characteristics, some seasons and sometimes days, nights, weeks, and months have certain characteristics for growth and for the spiritual dynamism and the transcendence of the people.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Dear friends, the month of Ramadan is a very good opportunity. It is a very good opportunity. It is an opportunity to do promotions, promoting Islamic values, to clarify, to get close to the people, to help the poor, and above all, to worship God, to fast, to sit at the table of divine mercy and divine banquet. This well-known banquet is your act of fasting, engaging in nafila, prayers which are not obligatory, and saying daily prayers.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong.
Have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian